Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Craig and I had been chasing stories like this for years.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Haunted houses, abandoned hospitals, cult sites. Nothing ever really happened. This time felt different. The reports came from a small Mexican village with no tourists. No investigators, no cameras. Just locals whispering about people dying after the same dream. It always happened after the second night. They dreamed of a tall woman, white veil, bone face. No one ever made it past the third night. We arrived just before dusk. The place looked dead. Dust-covered homes, broken fences, people avoiding eye contact. An old woman met us on the street and without a word, offered us 2 glasses of water. Craig took his and finished it fast. I hesitated but didn't want to be rude. It tasted off, warm and metallic, like it had been sitting in old pipes. We spoke to a few residents. Most kept their distance. But once we mentioned the dreams, things shifted. A group of people pulled us aside and started talking all at once. They described the same figure, nearly 10 feet tall, wearing a veil soaked in something dark, just standing and staring. No one said she cried. They called her La Llorona. But she was nothing like the legend. Craig looked uneasy, but I was hooked. This wasn't internet junk or horror stories for clicks. This place was hiding something. We both knew it. The more people we talked to, the more disturbing it got. Some had skin peeled off in patches. One man's teeth were almost black. A woman showed us her arm, full of deep scratches she swore she didn't remember doing. Every single one of them described the same nightmare. Frozen in bed, helpless, while the woman stood over them, silent at first, then speaking in a voice that didn't sound human. We entered a small house where they said 3 people had died. There was no ceremony, no caskets, just blankets covering the bodies. The feet were exposed, swollen and purple with cracked nails and visible bruising. The smell was enough to make Craig step outside. I forced myself to look. It wasn't just death. It was decay from the inside. Some told us to leave immediately. Others said it was too late if we'd already stayed the first night. A man with a stitched forehead said it doesn't matter what you believe. The second dream is the real test. I wanted to believe this was all fear and coincidence. But I'd seen enough sickness to know something was wrong. That night, nothing came. I waited with every light on, camera rolling, eyes wide open. But there was only silence. I felt no relief, just dread, because the second night was still ahead. The second night, I lasted as long as I could. I forced myself to stay awake. I paced the floor, drank coffee, set alarms, but eventually my body shut down. I blinked, and I wasn't in my bed anymore. Not exactly. The room was the same, but colder. My arms wouldn't move. My chest felt pinned down. I was completely paralyzed. Then I saw her, not walking, just standing at the corner facing me. The ceiling barely cleared her head. Her veil draped across the floor. She didn't shift, didn't tilt her head. She just stared like she was measuring me. Every part of me screamed to move, to scream, to get up. Nothing worked. After what felt like hours, her mouth opened. The veil didn't move, but I saw the hole forming. It looked cracked, like stone splitting open. "Leave. This is your last night." The words didn't echo. They slammed into me like a physical force. Her voice wasn't deep or loud. It was wrong, like it had been stitched together from dead voices. I couldn't answer. My tongue was frozen. My lungs didn't work. Then my eyes snapped open. I was drenched in sweat, stomach tight. I made it to the bathroom and threw up everything I'd eaten that day. My throat burned. I could barely breathe. I found Craig already packing his stuff. He didn't look at me when he spoke. "She told me to." That was all he said. He drove off before sunrise. I should have gone with him, but I didn't. I told myself it was for the investigation, that I needed to stay just one more night to get footage, to prove this wasn't just mass hysteria. But deep down, I wanted to see her again. It wasn't curiosity. It was something darker, like she had already taken something from me, and I needed to face it. All day, I felt like I was waiting for execution. No appetite, no strength. I tried to drink more water, hoping it would flush whatever was inside me. It didn't help. I was lightheaded by noon. By evening, I could barely stand. The only thing keeping me awake was fear. I set up two cameras, laid out salt, crosses, anything I could think of. I didn't believe in any of it. I just didn't want to die without trying. Around midnight, I passed out without noticing. And when I woke up, it was too late. I was back in the room. Same bed, same lights, but I couldn't move. Couldn't blink, couldn't breathe right. She was there, closer now, two steps from the foot of the bed. Her veil hung still. Her hands dangled near her knees, each finger stiff and too long. Her head tilted to the side, cracking like old wood. Then her mouth opened wider than before. "I gave you a chance." She took a step forward. I felt pain shoot through my chest, like someone stabbed me with a frozen knife. She was smiling now, or at least I think she was. Her face came into view under the veil. Skin peeled back, jaw broken, eyes hollow and wet. Her breath reached me. It smelled like infection. She raised her arms and placed her hands on my neck. The pressure started slow. My muscles locked up as she pressed harder. I heard small pops inside my ears. The blood in my face rushed down. I couldn't scream, couldn't move, only feel. "You think this is a game? This isn't your story." Her hands squeezed tighter. My throat felt like it was tearing. My vision blurred. Tears rolled out, but I wasn't crying. It was my body giving up. Her fingers dug into my flesh like they were rooting around for something beneath the skin. Her face came closer. "You came for death, so take it." Her grip turned brutal. My jaw went slack. my body convulsed without moving. The pain burned from my spine to my skull. Everything started going dark. Her mouth opened one last time, and she screamed.
This isn't your place!
Everything went black. I woke up gasping on the floor. My throat was raw. I couldn't stand. I crawled outside, shaking, half blind, barely alive. I reached the car and started it with the last of my strength. Then my phone buzzed. Craig had sent a message. It was a PDF, a lab report. The water we drank? Contaminated. Heavy metals, industrial toxins. He traced it to a chemical plant operating just outside the village. They'd been dumping waste for years. It seeped into the ground, into the pipes, into the people. I didn't go back to the village. I went straight to the city and checked into a hospital. The doctors confirmed everything. I was poisoned. The residents weren't cursed. They were being killed slowly by water no one should have touched. The dreams, a shared hallucination from months of exposure and fear. Craig met me at the hospital. We gave everything to the authorities. Real people, real evidence, real names. Within a week, the government moved in. The plant was shut down. The sick were evacuated. No more deaths. No more visits from her. Just the damage left behind. A few people said they still dreamed of her. But now they had medicine. Clean water, support. And for the first time in a long time, hope. We posted everything. The report, the footage, the truth. People were shocked. They shared it, commented, debated. And then, like always, they forgot. But I didn't. I still wake up gasping. I still feel her fingers some nights. Not in dreams, just in memory. She was never real. She didn't kill anyone, but she became the face of what was killing them. It wasn't a curse. It wasn't a ghost. It was a company. It was silence. It was greed. That's the real monster. La Llorona didn't take anyone. Those people did.
I only went to that house because my mom made me. My uncle and aunt had both died a few nights before. Heart attacks, back to back, 2 days apart. No one understood it. They were young, no medical history, no signs, but no one asked questions. People just cried, accepted it, and moved on. I didn't. I grew up in that house. Nothing about those two dying suddenly made sense. I hadn't been there in years. It felt too quiet. Not empty. Quiet. The kind of quiet that feels like something's waiting to break it. I walked through the rooms like a stranger. Same furniture, same smell, everything untouched. I was supposed to look for paperwork. Birth certificates, insurance crap, whatever. It was almost boring. I found some folders in a drawer, grabbed a few family photos, and was about to leave when I saw something jammed behind the bookshelf. It was a small wooden box, maybe the size of a lunch container. Looked old. One side had a circular mirror, cracked, but still showing a full reflection. I didn't recognize it. I swear I'd never seen it before, and I used to live in that room. I wound the small metal key on the side. A lullaby started playing. Soft, slow, almost broken. I don't know why I watched the mirror while it played. When the music stopped, I saw someone standing behind me. I spun around so fast I knocked over the chair. Nothing. No one there. But I'd seen it. In the mirror, something tall, black. No face. I stared at the mirror again. Now, just my reflection. I looked at the box. It had split in two like it had exploded in my hands. But I didn't remember dropping it. My hands were shaking. I stepped back, bumped into the desk, and ran out of the house. I didn't close the door. I didn't even turn off the lights. That night, I couldn't sleep. Not just because I was scared. My body felt drained, like something had been taken from me. I dozed off sometime after 3 a.m., fully clothed, lights on. I woke up flat on my back, staring at the ceiling. My arms didn't move. My legs didn't twitch. I was completely frozen. My eyes darted around, but that was all I could control. I thought maybe I was dreaming. I wasn't. The sound of the clock ticking on my nightstand was loud as hell. Too loud. I heard my own breathing, shallow and rough. My chest hurt. I couldn't scream, couldn't call for help. After what felt like hours, I gasped and finally sat up. I was covered in sweat and the taste of blood was in my mouth. I'd bitten my tongue. It happened again the next night, and again. Each time lasted longer. Each time I felt more helpless, more broken. I didn't sleep, I just waited for it to happen. The nights started blending together. I got desperate. I searched forums, watched endless YouTube videos about sleep paralysis. Everyone had advice. Breathe slow. Think of water. Move your toes. One video said you could take control if you kept your mind calm. Said the fear made it worse. I didn't believe any of it, but I was out of options. So I tried. That night I laid down early. Phone face down, nothing on. I told myself I wasn't scared. I tried to focus on breathing. I told myself I could stay calm. I woke up around 2 a.m. I couldn't move as expected. But this time I focused. I kept my breathing steady. I counted. 1, 2, 3. I felt a shift. Like I was deeper inside myself. Not quite asleep. Not quite awake. Everything was dead silent. Not peaceful. Dead. Then I felt the weight, right on my chest, slow, heavy, exact. I looked down without moving my head. There was something sitting on me, not standing, not floating, sitting. A creature. Its skin was dark, dry, rough, like it had been burned and never healed. Its arms were long and thin, bones showing under stretched skin. Its eyes were just holes, no light, no soul. It had a mouth, wide, wide enough to split its face in two, and inside rows of small teeth, too many to count, too close together. The thing wasn't moving, just watching. I couldn't scream, but inside my head I was losing it. I tried to look away. I couldn't. Its head tilted. It leaned closer. I heard a noise, something between a growl and a laugh. Its hand touched my chest, pressing down. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't fight. I was trapped, and it knew it. It smiled with that grotesque, overgrown mouth and let out a single sound.
You see me now.
Then I woke up, gasping, coughing, nearly vomiting. I crawled to the bathroom and pulled off my shirt. My chest was red, deep red. Not from pressure, from weight. Like someone had been sitting there for hours digging into my lungs.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Celebrate over 100 years of steak perfection with Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide during their anniversary sale. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at OmahaSteaks.com today. They're America's original butcher, and only Omaha Steaks delivers a full lineup of extra-age steaks so tender, they're USDA certified tender. Their customer favorite filet mignon has even been elevated to USDA certified very tender. And that attention to quality doesn't just stop with steaks. We're talking beefy burgers, air-chilled chicken, premium pork, and so much more. And every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the anniversary sale at OmahaSteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code CERTIFIED at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code CERTIFIED. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
I didn't sleep the rest of the night. Not because I was afraid of what I'd see again, but because I knew now it was real. The next day felt wrong from the start. My body was slower. I walked like I'd been sick for weeks. My thoughts were jumbled. At work, I forgot my password. I blanked during a meeting. I left my lunch in the elevator. When people spoke to me, their voices felt far away, like I was hearing them through water. I kept spacing out, losing chunks of time. I'd look up and realize I'd been staring at my screen without moving for who knows how long. By noon, I was struggling to keep my eyes open. I started seeing things in the corners, not shapes, movements, like something shifting quickly, just outside my view. I stopped looking. I was scared I'd see something that wouldn't disappear. On the way home, I didn't remember driving. I blinked and was at my front door. My legs were shaking. My hands had dirt under the nails. No idea why. Inside, everything felt wrong. My apartment looked the same, but it didn't feel the same. The mirror in the bathroom had a crack. I didn't remember it being there. I tried to eat, but the food tasted like ash. I took a shower and stood under the water for 20 minutes without realizing it. When I stepped out, the lights in the hallway flickered once. Just once. Enough to make me freeze. I went straight to bed without turning anything off. The moment I closed my eyes, I was gone. Like a blackout. When I opened them again, it had already started. My body was locked, chest burning, and he was there. Same figure, same smile, same endless stare. He hadn't left. He'd never left. He just waited until I was too tired to fight back. This time, he didn't waste time watching. His hand reached for my face again. I felt his fingers grip my cheeks, cold and sharp like metal, and he forced my jaw open wider than it should go. The pain was real. I heard the crack of my jaw joint. My mouth stretched open like rubber, skin straining to the edge of tearing. I couldn't resist. I couldn't even blink. He leaned forward. I felt his breath. It smelled like rot. Then he began to slide inside. His mouth opened over mine, and something, his head, his form, his essence, poured into me like thick smoke or boiling tar. I couldn't scream. I couldn't even gag. It filled my throat, my lungs, my eyes, like it was replacing who I was from the inside out. I blacked out before it was done. I woke up in the kitchen, standing up, knife in hand, not holding it, gripping it, tight. I didn't feel like myself. My movements weren't mine. I walked to the door and stepped into the hallway. The lights buzzed. My eyes moved on their own. I walked to my neighbor's apartment and knocked. I knew what was about to happen. I tried to scream inside my own mind. Nothing. The neighbor opened the door, confused. Hey, are you okay? I raised the knife. That's when I broke through. For a second, I had control. I dropped the knife. I ran. Full sprint, barefoot, down the hall. I didn't wait for the elevator. I took the stairs and jumped. I fell two floors, slammed into the metal railings, and blacked out from the impact. All I hoped for was that it wouldn't kill me. Just enough to stop whatever was inside me from finishing what it started. I woke up in the hospital. Every bone ached. Leg broken, arm in a sling, ribs wrapped. I couldn't talk for a day. When they asked what happened, I said I was sleepwalking. No one questioned it. The neighbor said he thought I was on meds. No one saw the knife. No one saw the thing that used me. The days passed slow. Nurses checked on me more than usual. One asked if I had nightmares. I said no. I lied. I still couldn't sleep right. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw that mouth. I didn't have any new episodes, but my body didn't feel like mine yet. There were moments, seconds, when I moved before thinking. A twitch, a step, a small laugh I didn't mean to make. They let me go after a week. I didn't want to go home, but I had no choice. A week later, my neighbor saw me in the elevator. He joked that I looked better, said the last time he saw me, my face was messed up. Then he laughed and mimicked something. A wide, unnatural grin, stretching from ear to ear. He thought it was funny. I didn't laugh.
It started small. I'd wake up in the night unable to move, barely able to breathe. I told myself it was normal, just a glitch in my brain. Sleep paralysis. I'd heard of it before, figured it would pass. But then, I started seeing him. At first, I thought it was a dream. A tall man next to my bed, just standing there, watching. His body didn't move. His face didn't twitch. He just stared. Too tall to be right. His head almost touched the ceiling fan. He looked like a skeleton someone stuffed into human skin. The kind of thing your brain invents to scare you. That's what I kept telling myself. It happened again the next night. And then the next. And the next. Always the same. I'd open my eyes completely frozen. And he'd be there. His face twisted into a natural grin. Like someone who didn't learn how to smile right. I couldn't scream. Couldn't speak. I could barely even blink. I live alone. Always have. No roommates. No girlfriend. I never even believed in anything supernatural. But this wasn't a bad dream. This was something else. After the fourth night, I'd stop pretending. This was real. I'd go to bed somewhere around 3 in the morning. I'd wake up in full paralysis. The man would already be there. He didn't appear. He didn't walk in. It was like he had been waiting the whole time. He never moved. Not even a shift of weight or tilt of his head. Just the same grin and those sunken eyes drilled into me. I started sweating through my sheets every night. My body would seize up for minutes, sometimes longer. And no matter how much I tried to control my breathing or close my eyes, nothing worked. The worst part, I could feel him getting closer. Not physically, just this sense. Like he was learning me, studying how long I stayed paralyzed, how much I saw, how far my eyes could move. Each night, the pressure in the room got worse, and even when it was over, I couldn't forget his face. It was burned into my head. I quit caffeine, tried melatonin, sleep apps, prayer, cold showers. Nothing changed. I still woke up pinned down, heart racing, and that monster standing right there. I didn't tell anyone, not because I didn't want help, but because I knew they'd never believe me. Hell, I barely believed myself. One night, I set up my phone, tripod, camera facing the bed, night mode on. I needed proof. Not for anyone else, just for me. I had to know if he was real or just a glitch in my brain. I placed the phone carefully, checked the battery, and forced myself to sleep. That night, I woke up the same as always, frozen, silent, my chest rising in tiny jerks. And there he was, still, watching, his face just inches from mine now, his eyes wider, his grin stretched wider than it should have been. His breath made no sound. His skin looked drier, more like paper. I could see the outline of his jaw through it, tight and unnatural. And then I heard something, not a sound, more like something inside my skull.
Tonight, you'll see it too.
My eyes started watering. I couldn't blink them away. He didn't touch me. He didn't need to. He just kept watching until everything turned black. I snapped awake around 6 a.m. First thing I did was search for the phone. My hands were shaking. My throat hurt like I'd been screaming for hours. The battery was at 4%. I opened the footage and skipped through. At 3:07 a.m., I stopped breathing. On screen, I was asleep. Still. Then something moved in the corner. Slow. Tall. He walked in from the edge of the room. No flicker. No glitch. No distortion, like a normal person, except everything about him was wrong. He leaned over me and just stood there for over an hour, watching, not blinking, not moving. Then, at 4:48 a.m., something changed. I twitched in the bed, about to wake up, and that's when he looked straight at the camera. His head turned in one clean movement. Then, with no hesitation, he bent his legs and slid under the bed like he belonged there. Like he'd done it 1,000 times. I couldn't breathe. My body locked up. My bed was still made. He could be under there right now. I stood in the corner of the room, gripping the phone, trying not to cry. My mind raced through every scenario. If I ran, would he follow? If I called someone, would they even believe me? My legs felt like they were filled with cement. My stomach twisted. I was afraid to move, afraid to make a sound. Then, I heard the floorboards creak. Not loud, but deliberate. One footstep. Then another followed behind. I turned. Slowly. He was standing beside the bed. Taller than before. His spine arched. His face still twisted in that disgusting smile. His arms hung by the sides like dead weight. He didn't blink.
I know you were watching.
His voice wasn't human. It was dry, raspy, hollow, like something that had forgotten how to use vocal cords. I backed into the door and grabbed the handle. It wouldn't turn. Locked from the inside. I never locked my door. I started to panic. He stepped closer, slow, controlled, like he didn't care how long it took. He reached into his back pocket and pulled out a crumbled plastic bag. His hand stretched it open, fingers pale and long.
You ruined it. Now I have to keep you asleep forever.
I snapped. I bolted towards him and shoved him with everything I had. He barely moved. He tilted his head, almost curious. And he grabbed me, spun me around and slammed me into the floor. The bag came down over my face, tight, sealing around my mouth and nose. My legs kicked. I clawed at him. My lungs screamed for air. The room spun. I bit the plastic, tore it open with my teeth, ripped through it in a single violent jerk. I sucked in a breath, then jammed my elbow into his rib. He grunted and staggered, not in pain, just annoyed. I scrambled up, ran full force at the door, and slammed my shoulder into it until the frame cracked and gave away. I didn't stop. I ran through the hallway barefoot, skin tearing on splinters, heart ready to explode. I made it out the front yard and collapsed on the grass, screaming. Neighbors turned on their lights. One came out in his robe. I must have looked insane. Half naked, bleeding, shaking. The cops came fast, too fast. I must have been louder than I thought. I told them everything about the sleep paralysis. The man, the bag, the video. They searched the entire house, room by room. Nothing, no sign of forced entry. No man, no bag, nothing under the bed. And the phone? Gone. The tripod was there, but not the phone. Like it never existed. They gave me the usual line. Maybe a nightmare. Maybe sleepwalking. Stress. But they could tell I believed it. I've been living in a hotel for a week. Haven't gone back. I don't even own that phone anymore. I bought a new one. And still keep the flashlight on at night. I check under every bed before I sleep. I lock no doors now. Not even the bathroom. I don't want to be trapped again. Every night I lie there, waiting for it, but nothing comes. That almost makes it worse, because now I know he was real. I saw him. He touched me. He tried to kill me. And now he's just gone? That's not peace. That's a pause. The house is still up for sale. No one's taken it yet. I don't even look at the listing anymore. I told the agent to drop the price. And to just get rid of it, I won't step foot in that place again. But every now and then, when I wake up at around 3 a.m., I stay very still. Not because I'm frozen, just because I'm listening, waiting to hear footsteps under the bed.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Or see something in the corner. He can be anywhere, even right now, waiting for me to go to sleep, watching.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.